Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Anthony Herron.
It was going to be legit. The guy can play football.
Former NFL defensive lineman Anthony Herron.
It's away from the initial contact, but not the second time. Anthony Herron wrapped him up.
Breaking down the Bears on Fox TV.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
College football for the Pac-12 Network.
Herron, the best of the bunch right now.
Anthony Herron with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves on Saturday, December 14th. Join the Chicago Wolves for Star Wars Night at Allstate Arena. Ticket packages include a laser sword. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. They are Jedi Knights. They are the Wolves. And this hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Hey, I read it as I get it.
Anthony Jedi, Herron, but not lightsaber. All right.
See, they can use Jedi, but they can't say lightsaber.
I guess.
Anthony Herron is on Twitter at Big Ant Herron. He of the Pac-12 Network, NBC Sports, Fox 32, Sirius XM. And probably Uber and Lyft or anywhere else. Find somebody giving out a paycheck. And he's here, and we are looking at a game that we're going to watch, and I'm going to watch in full meatball mode, allowing myself to think that this is the last stand of the hot gates of Thermopylae, the Spartans trying to hold off the Persians, and that anything remains possible, even though very little remains probable.
Well, and you, like, before the season, I remember us discussing this, where you were a part of the bastion of, if you're going to talk that noise, then you better bring it. And this is a season that should be about championships.
Yeah, win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Win the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's what I say. Yeah. Go win the Super Bowl.
I dig that. And tonight, it does feel like one of those last bastions. Now, if they win tonight, then there's going to be another last bastion next week, because that's the position they've put themselves in. And that's where I've been so intrigued just by the melodrama of it all, because it's been, you know, Bears versus Booze, and it's been Mitch versus Matt, and it's been, you know, just the perception versus the reality, and the defense versus injuries. And there's been all these different storylines that have led them to 6-6 at this point. And I've been so thoroughly riveted by the entire thing. And now we've seen, you know, three out of the last four where there's an inkling of hope, but they're not beating legitimately good teams. They're not beating the upper crust of the NFL, and that won't be the case tonight. It's a better team that they could defeat tonight in Dallas than what they've been taken down here as of late. But if they win tonight, then it sets up what could be a monumental stretch run, and there's going to be task after task in front of them to finish out the season.
You
it
could
happen.
No, it's of course it's not. But maybe you could say the same thing about the Cowboys, though. Granted, they've got better players, I think, and they've got better players who are playing better too.
Right. Yes.
But even still, their wins are the Giants twice, Washington, the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Lions. Their losses are the Saints, the Packers, the Vikings, the Patriots, the Bills, and they somehow lost to the Jets. I don't know how, but they somehow did.
It happened. Yes.
How close are these two teams, really? I mean, I understand there are some better players there, but they're close.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think I like the way you said it when you kind of enhanced your phraseology of, you know, they're better players who are playing better.
Yeah.
Because from a sheer personnel standpoint, I certainly wouldn't give the resume of the Dallas roster a big edge over the resume of the Bears roster, but their guys have been performing at a high level. But by comparison, I don't think that folks would look at the Dallas defense as well as they've played in a number of areas and say that there's an advantage there. But you look specifically offensively, it's a more grown-up version of the Bears offense, basically. You have a quarterback who's a little further along in his development. You have a top-flight receiver who they do a more effective job of getting the ball to. And you got Zeke. So obviously big advantage at running back, and then at offensive line. They've drafted and built that position up. But their offensive line isn't playing as well as we've seen the Cowboys' offensive line play of recent vintage. So overall, it is a squad that just grading out the film is a squad that's executing at a higher level, but just the totality of wins and losses in the exact same spot. They also, though, have the advantage of playing in the NFC East. So they can be an 8 or 9 win team. And a 9-win squad is likely going to win that division.
Give us some individual matchups that intrigue you tonight.
I'm really intrigued. Well, you know, for one thing, there's going to be cameras on both coaches, which, you know, you get some of that in the NFL more so than you do in other sports, perhaps. But the young star that is Matt Nagy and the guy who's been owning the star in Jason Garrett for all these years and having the boss looming over everything and Jerry Jones, that part just from an ownership standpoint is going to be very different between the two organizations. But the coaches themselves, where Matt Nagy seemed like his star was rising to such a degree last season and things have flattened out a bit. And I think the reason that Nagy's perception has flattened out in the way this season that it has is because I don't think folks were paying close enough attention last year. And it doesn't mean he was an overrated coach last year, that he's a bad coach this year. It just means he's a guy who hadn't been a head coach, hadn't really been a play caller before. So some of those same frailties in the Bears offense, in short yardage, in red zone, they were there last year. They got away with it more frequently. And so the Nagy versus Garrett storyline is one that I think will get a lot of airtime tonight because, you know, especially with the primetime games, they do an enhanced job of some of that additional storytelling. Fox doesn't do it to the degree that NBC does, but
NBC's overall, good at it.
NBC's very good. It's a part of the brand of that network where they want to sort of give you the human interest end of how these operators, these pieces, these athletes, you know, sort of tick and what makes them who they are.
The Cowboys offense leads the league at 305.2 yards per game, and it's by 10 yards a game over the second best offense in the Atlanta Falcons by that measure. But if you take total points, they fall nearly out of the top 10. They're just clinging to a top 10 spot. Dak Prescott has only thrown 2 touchdowns over his last 2 games. His only 3 touchdown games are against the really bad teams we've mentioned before. Is this an offense that's missing on some situations, or is it one that maybe isn't as good as some of the window dressing might tell you?
I hate saying it's a little of both, because there's been opportunities that Dak has missed on, where there's been pass plays that have been available where he's either been late or he's been errant, more so in recent weeks. He started off really hot this season. Specifically, play-action opportunities are still there consistently for Dallas, especially when there's a commitment to the run game, which there usually is. You know, they've allowed Dak to become a more volume passer this season than he's been in the past, but they're still going to run the ball. They're still, even when they don't lead with Zeke, he's still going to have a heavy hand in how the offense plays out for the Cowboys, and especially because their offensive line hasn't just been this force of nature that they were in the past. They still do a really effective job of taking that pressure off the quarterback and off the pass protection by running the ball. Now, Zeke Elliott himself, he's been fine this season. He's going to have another 1,200-plus yard year. He hasn't been this season the same Zeke that he had been the last couple of years. He doesn't seem to have the same burst through the hole. He's not ripping.
Is he
off.
Hurt?
I don't think he's hurt. I think he seemed to. His body looked trim and lean when he came into the season. I do think there's something to be said for not necessarily being out there on a daily basis, getting those reps, getting that work. And he has been a volume touch guy throughout his career. So if he's already to the point in his late 20s where maybe things are slowing down a little bit, there's potential. But even him slowing down a little bit still might be the best running back in the National Football League. So I don't see the same pop or burst through the hole that I had seen before. He's still very good on contact. So he's got plenty of elusiveness, plenty of burst. It's not the home run burst. I think you're going to see if he gets to that third level, folks are going to still be able to run him down once he gets there. That's been the case this season.
Prince Amukamara listed as doubtful with a hamstring injury that he suffered in the win over the Lions. So that would force Kevin Tolliver into action at corner. Would you consider moving Buster Skrin out and using Kevin Tolliver inside? Is he less of a worry inside? Can fewer bad things happen there? Maybe it's sort of a defeatist way of looking at it, where they could just say, you know what, Buster Skrin, we'd rather not change 2 instead of 1, and we're fine. You know, go stick your guy and leave Buster on Randall Cobb.
I believe the approach Chuck Pagano will take is that he'll leave Tolliver outside and allow Buster Skrin to work where he's best, especially because the Cowboys do a nice job of moving Amari Cooper around. He'll be split outside. He'll be in the slot on occasion, and that's a matchup they like to try and take advantage of when they can. And Screen has been up and down this season. He's had some good games. He's had some games not so good. He'll have to play a role in run defense tonight because the Cowboys do a really nice job of forcing DBs to make tackles against Zeke. The way they scheme it up, they do a nice job of saying, you know what, you better get an alley defender down here and you better do it early.
It's a numbers thing, right? It's almost like they're just counting it up and saying by the time you get to this, that next guy in is going to be your corner.
Precisely.
Right?
And the way they scheme up the run game allows Zeke over and over again throughout a game just to sort of, you're not necessarily wearing down linebackers. It's going to be great if Kwiatkowski and Smith are the main guys tackling Zeke Elliott throughout the game tonight. But the way the Cowboys scheme that up, they force you from a numbers standpoint to say, all right, your safety is going to have to come down. Or you know what? We're going to get him out on the edge, and your corners are going to have to come up and run support because we've gone 3-by-1 and we run some other dude off, and here's the corner. He's got to come up and be willing to hit over and over again. To me, I wouldn't say advantage Bears, but by comparison to other secondaries, the Bears are one of the more physically tackling secondaries in the National Football League. So even the frailties they may have at some points in coverage, as we've discussed throughout the season here, they're very good in run support. Even Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, better in run support than I anticipated him coming in.
Same.
Yeah, yeah. He's been better in that way. Eddie Jackson has grown in his run support as well. Part of that via scheme, part of that just via his willingness to just come in and be a more physical tackler, both one-on-one in space and in running the alley. So where the numbers for Eddie Jackson haven't been what they've been in recent years, and it'd be great if he was still the takeaway magnet. But there are ways that his game has grown this season that go a bit underappreciated because there's not those splash plays.
What's got Roquan Smith playing better lately?
He's playing with attitude. He's playing with force. And there was those couple of games where he was out of the lineup for one. There was a couple of weeks where he seemed to be just sort of floating through games before Raiders he really game. Got fully engaged again. But he's fully engaged again, I think. And I had no idea what the tackle numbers were just, you know, until we, you know, got on the post-game show last week from Thanksgiving. But you could just see he was playing with attitude, bringing force to the line of scrimmage snap after snap. And when they weren't asking him to come downhill, then he was out in space and chasing tight ends and making tackles out beyond the sideline. And to watch him play at that level, it's fun to see that he seems that engaged. He seems that locked in. You would hope that it's an indication that whatever was going on in his private life that took him from the lineup or that had him sort of floating through games is either behind him or is under control or whatever that is, because he now again looks like the guy who could be a historic figure in the middle of this Bears defense that has had so many historic figures at that particular position. And the fact that Danny Trevathan isn't in the lineup and you've got Kwiatkowski and Smith in there, one thing I referenced to you guys a couple of weeks ago that we didn't see two games ago, but getting them both into the A-gap pre-snap in that mug look, yeah, they started to do that some last week. And I thought it was really effective. It led to both of them having sacks because they were lined up in that manner initially. It led to both of them making some nice plays in pass coverage as well, because it does put some hesitation into the pass protection, into the mind of the quarterback pre-snap. And Dak Prescott's really good with his aptitude. You know, his brain isn't quite like a, you know, necessarily a microprocessor. I wouldn't put him on that level, but he does process information at a high level. So to be able to give him a variety of looks with two young inside linebackers in the game is something I hope we continue to see tonight.
Khalil Mack referred to Akeem Hicks as Mufasa in his return to practice. What's that like, getting somebody back like that? What does that do for preparation? What does it do for the way guys practice, if anything?
It locks you in. I mean, you've got that presence, and it's one of those things that, especially at this point in the season where the obvious goal of the Bears will be to try and win out, and you get through the month of December, you're hoping to make this playoff run. But whatever variety of ways things can stay interesting, one way it was happening just sort of chemically last season with Matt Nagy was, hey, let's get some defensive guys over on offense and just keep things kind of fun and interesting on the practice field and in the meeting room. To get Akeem Hicks back on the practice field for the amount of time that he's missed, that's something that adds juice, that adds focus, that locks guys in on the field. Even aside from just his personality and his life force, it just does it because you've got your great player, your shop wrecker, your havoc wreaker back out there with you. But then you also have the additional, you know, sort of element of Akeem Hicks just being your dude, being your leader, being both in physical stature and in personality, the guy that you follow, and now he's back there with you. So it locks everyone in during the practice week and the excitement that could be bubbling for what it could mean if they get this tonight, and then potentially you add him back into the mix next week on the field.
A common complaint has been that Khalil Mack has not gotten to the quarterback enough recently. I think that's absolutely fair, and I think in order for the Bears to win this game against the Cowboys, he has to be a game wrecker. Dan and I were talking about this earlier. Is he getting moved around enough? Would you like to see him moved more? I know a lot of Bears fans are saying he's from that same spot every time, but maybe they aren't seeing, you know, kind of the games, the underneaths that he's running. Should he go to another spot? Should he be used in different places? How has Chuck Pagano deployed his big weapon without Akeem Hicks there?
He's moved more this season than he did last year. What I would like to see more of is when we get Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd to the same side. What they've begun doing is actually where they add into some of the sub packages. They've added Roquan Smith to being an edge rusher. It's an indication to me that because you still have Mack and Floyd on opposite sides of the field, but you've seen Roquan Smith be that additional edge rusher, and then Khalil Mack reduces down to being sort of a tight four or five technique, and usually will pirate, what we call a pirate stunt, come towards the inside and end up rushing on the guard. Exactly, yes. And so for him in that alignment, it's fine. It's more effective to me where Roquan Smith is, you know, he's okay when you have him as an edge rusher. He hasn't necessarily gotten to the quarterback or gotten any sacks, but, you know, skill-wise, he looks like a guy who knows what he's doing, who can handle himself there. When you have Floyd and Smith on the same side, not that Leonard Floyd is a dominant pass rusher by any stretch, but he certainly can handle himself there. And the times that he and Mack have been to the same side, I think for the most part have been really effective. So I don't mind adding Roquan Smith as additional speed when they go to their dime personnel. I just wouldn't mind seeing him on the opposite side. And then you get Mack and Floyd on the same side, who both can really bring speed and ferocity and violence of hands in rushing from the same side of the protection. That's what I'd really like to see them go back to more frequently.
We've talked a lot of Bears defense. So let's bring our attention to the offense and some matchups on that side of the ball and look at some of these new faces that are being inserted due to injury as well. Anthony Herron is in studio, and we are previewing tonight's game between the Bears and the Dallas Cowboys currently on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, and more. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And I believe this band that we're playing was University of Michigan Music School, right?
Is that right? I forget what this one is. Is this the good stuff? Is this the
Fearless Flyers, right?
Yeah.
No, that's Tower of Power.
Oh, that's Tower of Power.
Tower,
oh, that's the actual
that's
Tower
much
of Power.
Control. Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty sure Fearless Flyers, the other band that, with the funk stuff that we play, the instrumentals, that they were...
The Michigan kids?
I think they're Michigan kids, yeah.
You know that Tower of Power, most of the guys in Tower, the horns players from Tower of Power are the News. From Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh.
That's how they all got together and then
really?
Branched. Yes!
Well, you know who else is in Tower of Power?
There you go!
you know who else was in that group?
Is it some of the guys from Toto, or do I have that wrong? They're all session dudes.
It's the head of Balco, Victor Conte.
No way. Seriously?
I am serious. Victor Conte of Balco and the Balco steroid scandals was a member of Tower of Power.
I did not know that. Yep. That's good.
I didn't know the part about the news.
Yeah, most of the horn players from Tower of Power, they were the news from Huey Lewis.
I think that was him hitting the jukebox in Superman 2 when Clark Kent gets beat up after he loses all his powers. I think that was him in that role.
I think you're right.
I just made that up.
I remember that part of the movie.
Right. Seen that movie?
All right, Anthony Herron, I need to ask you this because of what I heard from Brad Biggs driving in today when he was on with Mully and Haw. Okay. He's legitimately intrigued by Jesper Horsted. That it's not just a thing because he's the next guy. He mentioned that the athleticism is real. That very often when you see a fourth or fifth tight end or a practice squad tight end, the problem is they have the height and weight, they have the measurables. They're just, they can't turn quite as well, or they're not. He says the athletic. There you go. No, absolutely true. What he mentioned was he is a legitimate athlete for the position and therefore merits further attention. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he still wouldn't be on the field if a bunch of guys didn't get hurt. But yes, he has traits. Dax Raymond, remember him from back in the preseason. Mm-hmm. He has traits as well. Now, some guys end up exercising those traits better than others. And Horsted making that catch, making that play. Now you got a legitimate play that you've made at the NFL level. So that's a thing that matters, because now the coaches can have the confidence in saying that we're going to call that. And to execute it in that moment in the way where, you know, several things had to come together for it, because it was a nice route that was run. It was the perfect pass that was thrown, and the ball was put where it had to be put for him to have a shot at. The defenders didn't, and he made an excellent grab in extending his body out. And we were talking about it on Bears Post Game Live last week, where you know they went banjo, so the Lions had an opportunity. Their linebackers playing him inside out.
Describe what you mean by banjo.
So banjo means that the linebackers, based off the formation pre-snap, they end up indicating that, you know what, this is my assignment. I'm going to defend this guy. In that situation, it was the tight end, and so banjo is a check the defenders will use and say, you know what, all right, I'm man coverage on this individual. From a body position standpoint, that man coverage would normally be where he lines up just slightly with inside leverage to force that receiver, in this case the tight end, to go outside with his route, and the second defender ends up trying to come over the top. So you've got two bodies between Mitch and Horsted, and Mitch had to throw the ball what I like to call firm with an arc, where in a very limited amount of space, he had to put enough velocity on the ball where it gets to the intended receiver before that back line of the end zone becomes an impediment to it, but still be able to get it over those two defenders. So he puts an arc on the ball with his trajectory, but turns it over quickly enough where it fits right in there. And then Horsted extends his body and makes the play. And he talked about where I wasn't going to let that ball go. I mean, that's great. And you made a play. Now, can you make another play? Maybe. We'll see. But, you know, to be big and fast is nice. He needs to get bigger at some point if he's legitimately going to be a tight end. But it was nice to see him make that play.
Anthony Miller's breakout and, I don't know, demeanor, body of work, extracurricular activities, they mean what to you?
It means to me that he's been a talented dude the couple of years he's been playing at this level. And so it's nice to see those talents start to become results on the field, because there was this excitement last season where he was one of a number of guys throughout games last year with the Bears. Like, oh, how come Anthony Miller doesn't get the ball more? Or, you know, how come Trey Burton doesn't get the ball more? When are they going to get Allen Robinson the ball more? And there was this laundry list of guys. You're wondering, well, why don't they get the ball more? Well, because all of them are fairly talented, and that's the way the system is set up. This season, like, well, okay, no one's getting the ball but Robinson, but it's because they weren't playing well. And he, Anthony Miller, wasn't playing well. He still misaligns at times, and he still runs the wrong route at times, or runs the improper depth, and it can lead to interceptions, as we've seen here in recent weeks. But last couple of games, he's been playing his best football. Still imperfect football, but playing his best football, and especially where Taylor Gabriel's banged up, and it's going to be another game here without Taylor Gabriel, who was supposed to be the Bears' number two receiver. And Anthony Miller, to me, is a more gifted football player than Taylor Gabriel anyway. So if he can continue to play at the level he's playing at, that'll be an amazing thing for this Bears offense. And when Mitch is at his best, it's when he's decisive, he's confident, he's trusting his eyes, he's trusting his teammates. We're seeing that continue to emerge more and more. And Matt Nagy's made the point that he said it a couple of times here over the last few weeks, where he feels like Mitch has been playing his best football over the last like four games. I think it's more so his last six games. I think even what we saw on Thanksgiving, I think it was certainly Mitch's best statistical game. I actually think just specifically just grading Mitch, his execution of his job, his position, and not the play calling and not the pass protection and not the drops by the receiver, he was at least as good as, if not better, against the Chargers. It just, you know, it ended in a missed field goal as opposed to ending in a touchdown pass. But just first quarter through fourth quarter, he was probably even better just as an individual in that game against L.A. than he was last week. It just, it makes a difference when guys are catching the ball, when you've got all the time in the world in the pocket, when there's a commitment to the run game, when, like I've been talking to you guys about for, it feels like 2 years now, we're seeing called versions of the pocket moving consistently. Not here's one series of boot and sprint, but here's a game full of sprint and boot and allowing a situation where Mitch doesn't have to consistently process over and over again. Because we know that just the consistent consumption and processing of information bogs him down, slows him down. He's got to do it on occasion, but when he's not asked to do it every snap of the game, it frees him up to just play and allow his physical traits to take over.
This year, Mitchell Trubisky has not run the ball that much. It was a huge part of their offense last year. And for better or for worse, they did it a lot. He chose to do it a lot. Do we know where the combination is of him not wanting to run as much, the opportunities not presenting themselves, injuries being a factor, or coaches telling him, don't do it as much?
I believe it's become an amalgam of all those different factors and possibilities. Early in the season, it certainly seemed that he was being coached into staying in the pocket. He was being coached into reading, diagnosing coverage. No need to be on the move because we've got the play called. You know what you're looking at. Let it rip. And he wasn't letting it rip. And Matt Nagy said, all right, we're just going to call more pass plays until you let it rip. And it still wasn't ripping. And that cord was getting ready to break. And then now we're at this point in the season where finally, for a couple of weeks in a row, I'd say, you know, even upwards of about three games. I didn't bring my notebook with me, but I think it's been about three games in a row where I feel like Matt Nagy has finally gotten, I'd still like to see, we saw it finally get back to it last week, where J.P. Holtz is in at fullback more. Now, you've got so many injuries at tight end, it's hard to just say, all right, tight end, keep playing fullback, because you've just run out of tight end bodies. But the run game from the I formation and the offset I formation has been their most effective way to run the football. And while, you know, it was funny when we heard the quote on national TV during one of the Bears broadcasts where they said, well, Matt Nagy told us he ain't here to run the I formation. But when he's run it, it's been effective. He's done it more and more. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen Matt Nagy, to me, coaching. I've used this phrase with you guys before. He was coaching and calling plays for the quarterback he wanted as opposed to the quarterback he has. And now we've seen in recent games him get to where he's calling the offense for the quarterback he has. And like I was talking about Dan earlier, Connor, where preseason Dan's thing was, all right, you're talking championship, go get it.
Yeah.
Your thing early in the year was kind of turning Mitch into Lamar Jackson, if I'm not mistaken.
About 4 or 5 weeks in. Just being accepting. Not that anyone's going to turn into Lamar Jackson.
Right, yes.
Hold up on that.
That approach.
I'm not asking for that man to turn into a generational athlete suddenly on the NFL field.
Robert Downey Jr. None of that. But yes.
Let's embrace the thing. Maybe with the beard and the trimmer and thing. Yeah. Let's embrace, you know, things outside the box in order to make the offense work a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, and we're seeing things move, not in him as a runner, to Dan's question, but in him on the move in a called manner, not forcing the run to take place via the scramble. He can scramble a couple of times during the game, but it does so many things when you're using boot and sprint and play action as a key cog consistently in your passing attack. And we saw it last week, and it was a depleted Detroit defensive line, no doubt. But we saw the way that it enhances your pass protection because snap-by-snap defenders aren't just waiting to tee off on that same target point over and over again. They have to – it takes some starts out of their rush lanes because they can't fully commit to just hitting that one spot with commitment to that move. When you sap their commitment because they don't know where the Indianapolis Colts, as immobile as Peyton Manning was throughout his entire career, when he was at his best before, he just couldn't move and couldn't throw and everything else at the end. But his best Colts offense is – were full of boot and sprint and play action, and Peyton was never standing in the same spot. And this was after he was MVP-level Peyton Manning. Still, just with this young quarterback, just keep doing this version of it until he expands beyond it, and then fine. Just say, sit in the pocket and carve him up if he gets to that point. If he doesn't, which he probably won't, then just keep doing this. This is your most effective offense.
I expect to see a lot of zone defense from the Cowboys tonight because we see what happens when they can get a quick read on man and they can find a guy and Allen Robinson can beat his guy or Anthony Miller can make a play against his guy. The other thing it does is when guys are dropping back to landmarks, it keeps eyes on the quarterback and makes him less of an option with his feet. What are your favorite zone beaters? Do you prefer the guys to sit down in the slack water areas? Or do you like to take the top off of it with three verticals and hope you can block it up?
I enjoy when tight ends especially are able to sit down. And when the tight end is effective in this system, it's such a great element of it because you can route guys up with the effective U tight end that Trey Burton was supposed to be. And injury has taken him out of that and whatever else has taken him out of that. And you don't have the precision of route running and timing between, you know, my favorite new Bear, J.P. Holtz, and Jesper Horsted, as athletic as he may be, but he hadn't done that at the NFL level. But you saw even from Detroit's standpoint last week where when the Bears were in man covers, they took advantage of it with some double moves. When the Bears showed some zone, then David Blau, he had to pat the ball and hold the ball a little bit. And, of course, man, Mitch has been great. He knows what he's looking at, and he's at his most decisive versus that when he's got time in the pocket to process. And one of the things that I did feel like in the game where he had time to do it, but against Detroit, I feel like he did a little more methodically work through his progressions, but he just had time to do it to get from one to two to three and still deliver the ball accurately. Now, still, because there weren't touchdowns on the board, it led to Jimmy Johnson at halftime saying, hey, David Blau is going to be the next Bears quarterback. But just in grading the moment, it was still the same thing that we saw in the second half. It just happened in a bigger moment on that last drive of the game. But overall, I love the hole shot when you can throw it on time, in rhythm, with accuracy. That, to me, is an Allen Robinson ball. I don't know that Anthony Miller will run the route consistently with the precision to hit that to him. But with Allen Robinson, you can probably answer that question accurately. But with Allen Robinson, you got the opportunity, even if it's contested, if you have defenders converging on that spot, you get it out of your hands on time, you got a guy who you can count on, it at least becoming a pass breakup but not an interception, or you still have the opportunity to go back shoulder, which we haven't seen them because we've seen Allen Robinson lined up so much in the slot and essentially becoming kind of an additional tight end in the offense being an interior receiver. We haven't seen him on the outside as much and using that back shoulder throw that he and Mitch had hooked up on a lot over the first couple of years in playing together. That could be something that we see more of tonight where he lines up in that mode. Let's fit it away from the safety to the back shoulder outside the corner. This is a Cowboys secondary that's bottom of the NFL in interceptions. They don't take the ball away at a really high clip. So you can take some chances in this game and trust Anthony Miller's been making some plays. Allen Robinson, you know, will make some plays for you.
That's some densely informational stuff as Anthony Herron drops football knowledge. You will not be on the post tonight, but you will be on these airwaves on Sunday morning.
I will. Good. Yeah, with Arthur Arkus. We'll be on from 9 to 12, breaking down. We'll talk some Bears. We'll talk about whatever else is going on, too. But we both love the foosball.
So you guys going to get into the football championship games? Conference title games?
Yeah, the conference title games. Pac-12 is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Everything in college football is going to be going on Saturday, and then of course the college football playoffs will be determined. We'll figure out who the top four is later in the day Sunday.
Do me a favor on Sunday. Don't feel like you really have to get into whatever happens with Ohio State and Wisconsin. Just
ignore it.
Probably go.
So even if there's this surprising or monumental upset, or Taylor goes off for 250,
I'm gonna hedge my bets. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Right, I'll take it under advisement.
Thanks, Anthony.
There, fellas.
See you, man. That is Anthony Herron. Oh, my God. Look what time it is. This is crazy. So we are going to be doing Transition with Lawrence Holmes in just a bit. And I'm trying to remember. Tomorrow we are doing the Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday. And we have locked in our regular group.
We are in Bears Monday formation.
It is Patrick Manley at 10. It is Rich Campbell at 11. And it makes me lose track of time and space and dimensions.
I don't know where I am.
I don't know what's going on either. But we know this is Bernstein and McKnight. And you have this.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thanks to Anthony for joining us. Thanks to Shane Reardon for sitting in Jay Zawoski's seat, Rick Camp for working the board, and the executioner, Ray Diaz, for doing what he does in the back of the room. As mentioned, tomorrow is going to be a Bears Monday. Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday with Patrick Manley and Rich Campbell breaking it all down. It is my hope that the Bears remain in it, that they remain there at 7-6.
Hell
all of a sudden,
yeah,
we're dreaming big dreams and feeling ourselves a little bit. I don't think it's going to be the case, but either way, we're going to have some fun with it. I can promise you that, as we will with Lawrence Holmes coming up in just a moment on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.